Patrick Carroll could be locked up in prison right now, but instead, the 39-year-old is delivering laundry for a local dry cleaner. About a year ago, Carroll was accused of stealing a floor polisher he rented, a charge that he denies. He says the polisher was stolen from him. And so the justice process began. Police arrested Carroll and charged him with felony theft. But after a routine examination during arraignment, his case started to take a different path.
I was first told that the judge wanted to evaluate me and that, you know, he wanted to see can he help me, and it was all for the good of me. And initially, I'm like, okay, fine, you know. They sent a doctor and some social workers over to see me, interview me, told them about me. The doctor came over and evaluated me, checked prior records, saw what I had been treated for depression before.
And that's why authorities offered Carroll a special plea deal. In exchange for waiving a jury trial, he participated in what's called mental health court. It's one of three such special courts in Alabama. Others are in Jefferson County and Huntsville. With the exception of a few initial visits with the judge, there's really not much court about it. It's more a treatment and monitoring program that keeps misdemeanor and nonviolent felony defendants with a history of mental illness out of prison.
Jails have a purpose for certain people, but not all people who commit crimes deserve to be incarcerated.
Kathleen Champion is clinical director for the Mental Health Mental Retardation Authority of Jefferson, Blount, and St. Clair Counties, or JBS for short.
It's a politically correct statement to say, you know, lock people up that are committing crimes and make the world a safer place. The problem with that is that if your jails are overcrowded with people that you can help and who can change, there's no purpose in locking someone up because of the fact that basically they were an untreated mentally ill person who committed a crime.
Champion says Patrick Carroll was a good fit for mental health court. He had suffered from depression and at one time had taken medication. But Carroll was also self-medicating, drinking heavily, often. He had had other run-ins with the law, mainly for misdemeanor public intoxication. Had Carroll been convicted on the theft charge in regular court, he could have been sentenced to months or even years in prison. And without proper treatment for his depression, without any chance of rehabilitation, he wouldn't have had the attention, the medication, and the therapy that he received through mental health court. And that's true for the thousands of others in the criminal justice system who didn't have a chance to participate in mental health court.
They would be cycling through, and if they did get released, they go back out to the streets.
Suzanne Muir is project manager for UAB TASC, which stands for Treatment Alternatives for Safe Communities, the group charged with evaluating and overseeing the rehabilitation process through mental health court.
It's traditional hands-on case management, as social work was really intended to be, where you have a relationship with your client and you are in the community with them.
Clients get color-coded badges. When they're called, randomly, the client must come in, either for a drug test, a screening, or therapy session. Some days are much busier than others.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of people out here.
No, it's a low testing day. There are some days where we have standing room only, and other days where it's empty like this.
It's what TASC calls a slow color code day. Ironically, a court program is on TV. The clients that are in the waiting room are here to avoid being locked up.
If you can take people out of that situation and do rehabilitation with them, you're improving society, you're helping a human being, and you're saving a lot of money.
Again, JBS Clinical Director Kathleen Champion.
You know, it's very, very expensive to incarcerate somebody, and it's a lot more expensive than treating them.
Depending on whom you ask, the savings can be quite significant. According to UAB TASC, it costs about $54 a day to house an inmate at the Jefferson County Jail. Add in more money for special treatment and or isolated cells or blocks for the mentally ill, and the cost goes much higher. The fewer the days behind bars, the less the county will have to spend. The more treatment for the inmate, the less likely he or she will be back. Foster Cook is the director of UAB TASC.
What we did with this project was roughly cut the average time for a mentally ill person in the Jefferson County Jail from 89 days to less than 40 days. And the end result, and just figure the average days saved, multiply that by $54 a day plus, you know, we're saving the county money.
10th Circuit Judge Mac Parsons presides over mental health court in the Bessemer Cutoff of Jefferson County. He says he got involved as a tribute to his mother.
She suffered from severe depression. She was given shock treatments, which It was just a terrible experience for her that she complained about terribly, the pain from it, and it, you know, destroyed parts of her brain and her memory.
Judge Parsons says his mother was confined to the state mental hospital for a time, and he remembers how horrible an experience that was for his family. But his mother committed no crime. The people he sees have. He says it's a heavy responsibility to weigh the options for a defendant that comes before his bench, where locking that person up is one of only a few choices in the justice system.
As a judge, that's the easiest thing to do. It is.
To send someone to jail?
Yeah. I mean, that's the way the public looks at us. We're a judge that basically to send people to jail. The hard thing to do is to try to change somebody's life. Till the pill comes along, you know, successes don't come very often.
Most people in the criminal justice system are singing the praises of mental health court, but because the program is so new, advocacy groups are keeping a watchful eye. The National Mental Health Association says it's important to ensure the court doesn't cause greater criminalization and stigma. And prosecutors and victims' rights groups say they're watching to make sure justice is served and the victim protected, no matter what the offender's condition or charge. Most of the nation's 125 mental health courts serve only misdemeanor or nonviolent felony offenders. Could violent felonies be next?
In theory, the victim who does not have an objection to whatever kind of case these courts take on, if it's done right, the victim will have as much of a measure of justice as under other circumstances.
John Stein is Director of Public Affairs at NOVA, or the National Organization for Victim Assistance.
It probably means that both the victim advocates have to be very wary of when a mental health court would be taking on violent offenses. I would anticipate that the decision makers over who sends them there should be looked at with great scrutiny. But in principle, should they not ever take that on? We don't think so.
Other concerns about mental health court include the threat of overcrowding the system. Not the penal system, but treatment and monitoring centers. And some legal scholars question whether judges should be playing therapist instead of jurist. Judges are charged in making very important decisions about the defendant's treatment. But for Bessemer's mental health court, Patrick Carroll is a success story, one of seven graduates in the past year and a half, and none has been rearrested. The charges against Carroll were cleared, and he paid restitution. He was released from monitoring back in March, and he says he was lucky to have been offered the chance.
Being accepted in mental health court will help you, no doubt about it.
It's his only chance. If he gets arrested again, he'll face regular court and the prospect of being locked up with everyone else in prison, a place where justice is served, but where the mentally ill may have less of a chance to get help and treatment. I'm Steve Chiatakis.